A t-shirt and jeans, mac and cheese. Some things in life are an obvious match, like RIAs and Schwab Advisor Services, the number one choice for independent advisors. The difference is so obvious, it's Schwabvious. Learn why at Schwabvious.com.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
You know what? Everybody tells you how to pass the PMP, but nobody really tells you how to survive failing it. And that silence, you know, that silence almost broke me. See, I thought I had it figured out. I had a good project management background. Matter of fact, I knew my stuff. The PMP felt like a next logical step, almost a formality. I studied the guides. Memorized the process, walked into the testing center so confident, ready to claim what was mine. I thought I deserved it. Matter of fact, I knew I deserved it. But when I failed that exam, I didn't just feel disappointed. I felt exposed. It wasn't the score report. It was a spotlight that lit up inside me, which was doubt. It was the gaps in my knowledge areas that I couldn't outrun. Walking out of that test center, my heart pounding. Nobody called me. Nobody checked on me. And honestly, if they would have called, I wouldn't have answered anyway. I didn't want to talk to them anyhow. I didn't want to explain. I didn't want to hear, "You'll pass it next time. You'll get them next time." I didn't even want to hear, "So why do you think you didn't pass?" I wanted silence, because silence felt safer than admitting I failed something I told everybody I was ready for. And here's the truth, people. No one ever says this out loud. The exam didn't break me. The thoughts, the criticisms of people judging me actually did. That's when misery tries to recruit you. And for a while, I let it. I mean, I hid. I replayed every moment. I sat in that mental cave where you question your intelligence, your career, your future, and your passion for this thing that I love, that I hope you fall in love with one day, called project management. I mean, everything. Then came the turning point. Do I continue to stay in misery, or do I face the spotlight? Knowing that I didn't pass, I realized the real problem. I was studying something that I was not prepared for. I was studying to pass a test. I was chasing validation, not competency. That score report wasn't a verdict. It was actually a diagnosis. So I threw out everything I did the first time. I stopped memorizing. I started to really lock in and understand. Every practice question became a scenario. Every wrong answer became a teacher. Every gap became a map. I worked with a trainer and coach that worked with people like me. This time, I wasn't prepared to impress anyone. I was preparing to become the leader I believe I was. When I walked into the testing center again, I didn't feel confident. I felt prepared. This was personal. And when I saw that I passed, the emotion wasn't relief. It was resolve. That failure wasn't a setback. It was the most important part of my journey. It forced me to stop performing and start becoming. And here's what I brought back with me. The PMP report wasn't a spotlight on my weaknesses. It was a map to my strength. Don't chase the paper. Chase the competency. The certification is just the receipt for the work you did to transform. Principle number one, shame does more damage than the exam can ever do. Again, shame does more damage than the exam could ever do. See, shame is internal pressure. It slows down your recovery, your confidence, and your ability to get back into study mode. Most people stay stuck because they're embarrassed. They're ashamed. They can't believe, why me? Why is this important? You don't deal with shame. You will hesitate. You'll procrastinate. And you'll make studying more of a situation where you're fearful to even pick up a book. Take another quiz, which is the worst state of retention and focus there ever can be. Experiment with these actionable tips. Talk to one person you trust about your results and break the silence. Next one, write down a 21-day recovery plan to reset your momentum. And the last and final one, which is my favorite, and I always share this with you, stop, and I'll repeat it again, stop comparing timelines. Your journey is not a race. We're so excited to get to the destination. And I know how it feels because I failed the exam. I know what that pain feels like. I'm not speaking from something I heard or I read in a book. This is true feeling. So here's my professional advice. Treat your failure like project data, review, analyze, adjust and adapt. No emotions while you're analyzing, just clarity. And once that shame lifts, you'll start noticing the real battle, the fight for your commitment. Principle number two, commitment under attack. After failing, every distraction becomes a little bit louder. Every doubt becomes a little bit heavier. This is the point where I've seen and I've experienced my own personal self where I said, I quit. I give up. You can have it, PMI. I don't want it anymore. Why is this important? See, if you don't recognize that moment for what it is, you'll think something is wrong with you instead of understanding this is the natural part of your comeback. This is the natural part of you getting back up. This is the natural part of when you finally say, enough's enough. Experiment with these actionable tips. Reestablish your study schedule within 72 hours. Next one, block 90 minutes off a day for focused study. And the most important one, cut your noise time by 50%. What does that mean? No pointless scrolling, no comparison traps. Don't jump in those exam forms because you're going to see things that will make you ask questions like, how did this person pass? They don't even have a background. And how did they out of those forms? Here's my professional advice. Commitment isn't about intensity. It's about consistency when the emotion is gone. And when that moment, when you're trying to rebuild your confidence, someone hits you with the worst phrase possible. Principle number three, it's just a test. The lie people tell you when they don't understand your dream. Again, it's just a test. The lie people tell you when they don't understand your dream. See, family, people who have never taken what you've done with the PMP exam or any test for that matter from PMI, they minimize it. They don't understand the pressure, the career impact, or the personal investment that was involved. Why is this important? If you let someone trivialize your goals, you'll start trivializing them yourself. And your effort will actually drop. Experiment with these actionable tips. Limit your exam conversations to people with context. Next one, write down your real reason for wanting the PMP. And I promise you, I guarantee you, you need to revisit this on a daily basis to keep your mental state in a way where you want to continue to show up of doing the practice tests, of reading the material and going over the content exam outline. And the last and final one, stop defending your ambition to people who don't share it. I know that's rough, but it's the honest truth, family. Sometimes we get caught up and we're so excited about what we're about to achieve, what we're about to go after, and we want to share it with the world, but the world will push back. So be cognizant of that. Here's my professional advice. Your vision, your expectation, it's not up for negotiation. You need to protect what you said you wanted, what you believed you needed to get at all costs. Now, let's talk about something that most people underestimate. The room you're studying in, and the people surrounded you. Principle number four, Your environment determines your confidence. Ooh, I like that, family. See, your space, your habits, and the voices you hear daily shape your mindset more than any content you study. Why is this important? You can't prepare like a professional in an environment built for distraction. Oh, this is getting good, family. See, a lot of times we want to study or we want to play like we're studying, but we have so many distractions. We don't know how to take the time to put that sign on the door and say, do not disturb, come back and see me at a later date and time. Okay, you don't like that? Well, let me remix this. Won't you put something on your voicemail message for people that's calling you, said you reached the right number, but at the wrong time. If it's very important, I'll get back to you after I finish the study session. Experiment with these actionable tips. Create a dedicated study area. Keep it clean. Keep it quiet. And most of all, keep it consistent. Next one, surround yourself with high energy influences, videos, mentors, groups. And the last and final one, remove triggers that drain your focus. We know those triggers, TV, clutter, noise, and those negative people that always got something to say about what you, okay, I'm sorry. Just move those negative people. Let me give you some professional advice. If your space is chaotic, so will your results be too. And once your environment is right, you'll start seeing the actual truth. Principle number 5, people want the results or the outcome, not the grind. Everyone wants to be certified. Few want to endure the repetitions, the late nights, the discomfort, the frustration of knowing I got to do this all over again because I didn't pass. Why is this important? This principle reminds you that success is built in boring reps, not in excitement. Again, it's built in boring reps, not excitement. Experiment with these actual tips. Set a daily minimum, 10 questions, 5 questions, or 10 pages. Next one, track your progress, not your feelings. We're gonna remix that again. Track your progress, not how you feel it today. We got work to do. We have to go back and sit and pass the PMP exam. And the last and final one, embrace repetition. Mastery lives in rereading, retesting, repracticing, and retrusting yourself again. Here's my professional advice. Your future certification is hiding behind a task you don't feel like doing. But here's why many candidates fall into a trap. Listening to people who never walk the path. Principle number 6, you can't borrow belief from people who've never tried, attempted, and went after their goal or vision. See, when you're vulnerable, you look for validation. But people who never taken the PMP exam can't give you confidence they don't have. Why is this important? Borrowing belief from the wrong source can lead to discouragement. And better yet, you just say, you know, it's not even worth it. Here's my actionable tips I'd love for you to experiment with. Follow credible voices. Reach out, as we talked about before, to mentors. Reach out to people that have gotten certified as a PMP. Reach out to instruction. Figure out ways to connect with people that already walked the journey that you're already in. Next one, stop asking the wrong crowd for reassurance. And a last and final one, build that inner belief by tracking real evidence of your improvement. Here's my professional advice. Borrow belief from people ahead of you, not beside you. I like that, family. A lot of times, if you mind if I unpack this real quick, a lot of times we want to borrow belief from people that are just walking the same journey that we're on, but they don't have enough information to answer us or to give us feedback accurately because they're on the same journey we're on. I'll let you sit with that for a moment. And as you rise, something powerful happens. Principle number 7, pain reveals the gaps you've been ignoring. See, the PMP, it doesn't lie. I know what you're thinking. I thought it was lying to me too. I thought PMI was just sitting behind this magical dashboard. And then they say, oh, there's Edward Cole. He's about to take the PMP. We're going to give him a whole bunch of hard, different questions. It don't work like that. It tells you exactly where your weaknesses are. Why is this important? Instead of taking failure personally, you need to learn how to take it professionally and diagnose the feedback. Here's my actual tips I'd love for you to experiment. Review your score line by line. And when I say line by line, figure out where are your weak areas. Then create a gap-specific study plan. And the last and final one, start your practice questions only from areas where you're weak first. But here's another key thing, because I've seen this happen. Okay, let me just testify for you. I've actually done this and got the same results, which didn't work in my favor. What I'm saying here, family, is that don't forget your strong areas as well, so you can ensure you're well-rounded. See, when I didn't pass the first time, I focused on all my weak areas because I was like, I was strong over here, but then I got strong in the weak areas and ended up getting weak in the strong areas. Does that make sense? Because what I'm saying, family, is that I want you to start with the weak areas, but I also want you to make sure that you're continuing on the strong areas where you excelled at. Here's my professional advice. Failure simply means your strategy needs refinement, that your ability is limited. I will say this again because I know there's people out there. I was one of those individuals, and I wish somebody would have put an episode together like this that really watched this, family, that really articulated that this is not final, this is not permanent, that I didn't pass. If I have the belief that this is only limited for a limited time, then if I get back into studying, if I get back into doing the things that I know that needs to be done in order to pass it, this can happen. This is what I want you to think about. And now we've reached the final turning point, which I love. This is where the comeback begins. Principle number 8. The comeback always requires courage before clarity. I'm going to tell you something that I hope you guys are okay with, family. You won't feel ready. Mm-mm. You won't even feel confident. Matter of fact, you won't have all the answers, but you know what you have to do? You still have to move. You know what you have to do? You still have to trust the process. You know what you have to do? If not, get so caught up in the destination, meaning the PMP certification, that you lose track of the journey. Why is this important? Courage sets the engine into motion. Clarity arrives after the work starts. Again, clarity arrives after the work starts. Experiment with these actual tips. Pick your new exam date. Next one. Begin a structured study routine. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait until 2 weeks from now. You already put your 72 hours in after you didn't pass the exam. Now, after on the 73rd hour, we need to put a structured study routine in. And the last and final one, believe in the version of yourself that is about to appear. Here's my professional advice. Every comeback has a moment where you either choose discomfort over doubt. I like that, family. It kind of reminds me of the agile values, where it's something on the left over something over here on the right, meaning that I am saying to you that you are going to feel discomfort, but it's worth it because it's going to help you alleviate the doubt that you may be dealing with. And you don't rise because the exam gets easier. You rise because you do. Here's the truth, family. Failing the PMP doesn't make you less capable, less intelligent, or less ready for your career. It simply proves you're human. And the comeback is part of your story. I like that. See, because you don't have to sit in misery. You don't even have to explain your dream to people who won't even get you or understand it. The journey shapes leaders, not test takers. And if you're going to choose to rise again, you won't rise as some person who walked into the test center. You'll rise sharper, stronger, with beautiful scars and better tested. And that's the version right there. That's the one that actually passes the exam. So if this message resonated with you, share with another project manager who needs it. If you're looking for mentor or coaching, check the link in the episode, unless you and I get to work. And if you're new, I go by the name ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, hey, listen, that just simply means it. Until next time.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now, with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.